Hello, everybody. This is Mark, the Prepper Guy at you, and this is episode 10. Can you believe that? So today I was going to do a quick kind of overview of my thinking when it comes to all the conspiracy theories that I've seen in regards to September 11th, because that just came and went. And I got into a little discussion with a friend of mine on Facebook named Jeff. So I promised him I'd do a podcast about my thoughts on that. Not that I'm always right, but why I couldn't get into a deeper conversation with him on Facebook, because it takes a lot to discuss issues like that. So anyway, to my friend Jeff on Facebook, Jeff, what day is it?
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
All right, so let's get into this. So we have a lot of debate about September 11th. And first of all, I want to make it clear that I think honoring those nearly 3,000 people that died on September 11th is very important, and I like the fact that we take a day, and usually a week, to kind of not celebrate, but commemorate that day in history, because it is a day in history, kind of like when Pearl Harbor got bombed and things that we had no control over. But what I find is a lot of people get into debates on it was a conspiracy, and this happened, and George Bush and Dick Cheney's war machine and Halliburton, which is all fine and good to have a conversation on that, kind of like trying to figure out what's on the other side of the universe if you could ever get that far into space. And it's nice to stretch your mind and try to think of things that we don't understand and how we can put certain given facts into some kind of thought pattern that makes sense to us. But some things are kind of like religion. Let's just take the Bible, for example. I'm not picking on one religion or another. There's the Quran and the Torah and all these other books. But if you just look at the Bible, there's 3,000 or 4,000 kinds of churches out there that say this is how we interpret the Bible. Well, that's all fine and wonderful, but you can take a certain set of what is considered facts, like the Bible, and you can construe it to a lot of different ways of thinking, usually to control the people that you're trying to control. So when you look at the Bible, you kind of have to boil it down and go, well, there are certain set things that we do know, and that limits it to quite a small conversation, kind of like, well, we all pretty much assume, no matter what religion that you look at, whether it's Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism, Muslim, Christianity, they all believe that there's a higher power. They all have certain beliefs that seem to run thousands of years back into history. And so of that one fact that most religions believe in a higher being without a name, we don't want to get into any of the minutiae. These people came up with these religions thousands of years ago before they even knew there was someone living on the other side of the mountain. So I find that to be kind of a truth when one religion, 5,000 years old, talks about the same guiding principles as another religion 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. And in that one thread that seems to be constant, you can kind of look at and go, okay, that's probably a longer running truth, so let's look at that. So I always look at it as, well, there's a higher power. He wants us to be good. He wants us to fumble through life and make our own mistakes, and then he'll pick up the slack, or she'll pick up the slack, whatever. We don't know, really, and that's kind of the beauty of it, because I don't think God wanted us to know everything about him. He just wanted us to come here and figure things out, make decisions, and honor our commitments that we make based on those decisions and live our lives. And if we're not total screw-ups and jackasses, I think there's a plan in place to pick up the slack. Well, it's kind of the same way with the 9/11 things. We don't have a lot to go on. And so let's look at just the fact that a lot of people say, well, it was a conspiracy. Well, conspiracy is an actual word that is in the dictionary. So it's not you know, something that can't be, you know, pinpointed and looked at. But you can get arrested for conspiracy to commit robbery, conspiracy to run a red light if you're talking with your wife about it and say, I'm just going to run that light. That's a conspiracy. So it's not one of those terms that all of a sudden become non-existent just because you use the word conspiracy. The problem with conspiracies are, even though they happen every day, whether you and your friends in junior high conspire to rob the Circle K of some candy bars and you go, well, you go in and talk to the clerk and say you're not feeling good and pass out, and meanwhile I'll load my pockets with candy bars, that's a conspiracy. The problem is that it's hard to take that to court. It's hard to charge someone with conspiracy because now you have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that these two kids conspired and he told him to fake this illness and then the other guy was going to rob the Circle K. So you can't. It's very hard to prove that because he can say, no, I actually was feeling bad and you weren't there listening to us, so ha ha ha. So what you do is you charge the crime. Go, okay, these two kids came in the store and whatever they did, this guy stole a bunch of candy bars and I think they were working together to maybe distract me. But either way, these two stole candy bars. Well, that's easy to prove because they have a pocket full of candy bars. Well, how does this apply to 9/11? Well, a lot of people like to say, oh, it was a conspiracy, and it probably was. The problem is proving who the conspirators were. And that's where you got to be a fly on the wall to actually know that these 19 guys all conspired with this guy over here and they made these plans to do this and that. So it takes you off track from the actual crime that happened. Three airplanes were flown into buildings and whatever happened, these guys were flying it. They're the ones that at fault. And then you can try to figure out, well, who were they working for and why'd they do this? But if you start focusing on the conspiracy, then you tend to start losing focus on the whole thing. So we all agree that 9/11 happened because we saw it. Were there missiles strapped to the planes? I don't know. Does steel melt at a certain temperature and jet fuel doesn't get to that temperature? Well, yeah, that is a fact. But then there's also facts that start to muddy the water because wood only burns at about 600 degrees, but yet they've been making swords and heating it and shaping it for 1,000 years. Well, that's because they use a forge, and once you introduce oxygen to that, then the heat becomes superheated and it will melt steel. Now, if you just set a piece of steel on a campfire, no, it's not going to melt. But if you stick it in a forge and you pump air through it, it's going to get red hot and you're going to be able to work that and it's going to weaken it. And that's how they make knife blades and stuff. They heat them to a certain temperature and then they cool them in oil and do certain things to temper it, to soften it, or to harden it. So that becomes a whole nother set of facts that would muddy your conspiracy theory. And then people start arguing about that. Well, no, steel never melts at that temperature. Well, how did that happen? Oh, they blew up the building. That's the next thing. So, okay, let's assume that Bush and Cheney conspired to blow up those buildings. I have no idea why. Have any of you ever watched any shows on the educational channels about people that blow buildings up? I find it fascinating. I love watching anything blow up and watch it just crumble to the ground. It's thrilling to watch. So when they do that, if you watch how they prep a building, they don't just go in there in the morning while people are working and go, excuse me, I gotta, you know, put this briefcase here by the main support column and walk off. No, it takes months of planning to bring down even a 5-6-story building. Most of the time they gut the building. They take out all the floor covering, all the furniture, anything that might slow or change the variables as that building comes down. Sometimes I've even seen they will do core drilling to cut through certain parts of the rebar to where it will implode instead of going this way or stopping. So how did all those people go to work for 2 months without any carpet in the building and floor covering, without any desks and furniture that might change the way the building falls down, steel cables tied from one support to the other in crisscross form, the columns, all the structural columns in 3 or 4 floors. Let's just say they only wired, you know, one floor. Well, it would drop that one floor, but the way buildings are designed, the whole thing wouldn't fall down. So they had to rig quite a few of those floors. So everyone's just showing up to work and there's contractors in there going, oh, don't step on that wire and don't touch that C4. And oh, By the way, your desk and internet connection and all the wires have been taken out of the building, but you still need to go to work for a month because we need to look like this was just magically fell down that way. So don't be panicked about all those, you know, bundles of C4. Just don't mess with them and don't use your cell phone because it might set them off because they're rigged. Do you understand? See, there's so many holes in it. To say that it was blown up is ridiculous. So then some people say, well, no, they didn't blow it up like demolition. They used missiles on planes. Well, if you really look at the footage of that building, you can see the impact of the plane and then the ball from the fuel. Now, where did the oxygen come from to superheat that? Well, maybe originally it came from the oxygen tanks in the plane because they do have oxygen. That's how the masks fall down and you can breathe something. So there's oxygen there, might have heated it up just enough to really get it rolling. And then all the damage to the floors, those elevator shafts are going to start sucking up massive amounts of air like a billows and superheating that. That makes sense to me. I'm not an engineer, but that seems like it would get pretty damn hot over the time. Now, to say that it was blown up with all those missiles on the plane, well, that would have happened at impact because they couldn't set them off after the plane hit because then everything's all screwed up and blown up. So they would have had to impact and then explode. Well, explosions usually move at a higher rate of speed than combustion of fuel. Most heavy-duty, high explosives and missiles, they detonate at 16,000, 17,000 feet a second. And I'm not an expert on that, but I know that you don't get that nice, pretty little round air ball like when you soak your lighter fluid all over your charcoal for a quick light, and then it whooshes, and then you get that pretty little ball. An explosion of that kind would have just sent out stuff way faster, way further. It would have cleared the air a lot quicker of all that black smoke. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. So, you know, missiles, I don't know, you know, I mean, I've looked at all the pictures, and you can say, well, that was this kind of missile. Well, it still looks like an airplane flew into it. You know, I watched it live when it was happening, was just in total shock, and I didn't see anybody photo editing nothing on the fly as they were doing that. So I'm going to assume that those were airplanes and they ran into buildings because that's what the hell they look like. So I am not telling my friend on Facebook to not believe in conspiracy theories because there are conspiracies. And I'm not saying that something didn't happen that we don't understand because you just can't believe the story that's being fed to us, which is pretty much true with religion and everything else. If you believe the story of the day, then you're pretty well misinformed, would Mark Twain say. If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. And if you read the newspapers, you're misinformed. So I'm going to give points to the fact that a lot of people say something happened and we don't have the answers. That is very true. There were 911 calls from people on the plane before they hit that were never discussed. Things like, oh, people heard gunfire and stuff. Now, eyewitnesses always hear things that maybe don't happen. But still, there were a lot of unanswered questions. And just like in Roswell, we're not going to know because we weren't there. I mean, you know, even when you think about Roswell and the UFO and the autopsy and all that, you know, the military's general story was, well, it was a weather balloon. Okay, I'm going to believe what you said. Let's see, it was a weather balloon. Now, reports show that they had 600 soldiers walking that field for days, and they were pretty much not arm in arm, but they were just fanned out in a long row. Now, 600 soldiers makes probably a 2,000, 3,000 foot long swipe of that area. And they picked up every little piece of stuff they could find. Now, the EPA wasn't a big deal back then, so I don't think they were worried about a little bit of plastic laying around from a weather balloon or whatever the shit those things are made out of, for them to have that many men combing that area. So if I believe what they're saying, then I have to ask myself, then why did that many people comb that area for 3 days? Huh, there's something you're not telling me. And it's the same with 9/11. There's a lot of, wonder what the hell happened. Now, a lot of people say, well, they weren't Muslim terrorists. Well, they were terrorists, okay? Because they terrorized the shit out of us, so they were terrorists. Were they from Iraq? Not so much. We knew where they were from, and that's another one of those things where we go, how come they're not telling us that most of them came from the Arab Emirates or the people we protect with contracts and treaties? So we know who did it. we're just not really told. So all we can do is look at it and go, I'm not believing the story and the bullshit. I know we were hit. But I think what happens when people start talking about these conspiracy theories is, one, it does start making you look maybe sophomoric, like you have all the answers and you're just smarter than them. But I think it diminishes from the true victims and survivors of the victims. And it, you seem to be trying to take away their moral high ground because they did lose people. It doesn't matter why. See, that's, if you get run over by a car, your family might go, that was so sad. He got ran over by a car. Now, if somebody wants to sit there and go, yeah, but you know, that tire shouldn't have been loose. The brakes were faulty. That's Midas's fault or whatever company works on your car. Then all of a sudden it's like, what are you saying, that what happened to my friend that got hit by a car was bullshit? And now you're in an argument with him. And then you're like, no, what I'm saying is, well, what am I saying? It could have been prevented. Oh, it sucks to be you. Or, well, what happened was somebody else's fault. No, see, the simple fact is they're grieving. Leave them alone. Now, if it were to ever gone to court and we'd have had the big debate that everyone talks about, maybe we'd have got some answers. But let's face facts. If you want to have a big debate when you're talking about things that happen with big government, you can kiss that theory goodbye because it's not going to happen. So what I think happened was, you know, 19 crazy jackasses got onto planes. They got onto one-way ticket planes that were flying all the way across the country. So it was loaded with fuel. Now, if they knew it was loaded with missiles, they wouldn't have made that planning and made sure they were on planes that were heavily loaded with fuel. Because what do they care how much fuel's on the thing? Actually, it could have gone faster and took off faster and got where they were going faster with less fuel on it because they had missiles on there. You know, missiles are kind of crazy. Why not just say that they had briefcases full of C4? Because back then, nobody would have checked that shit either. And that would have done the same thing as all these missiles. So they could have packed on other things and done different things. But either way, 19 crazy people that don't like us for a lot of reasons. Now, a lot of people got mad at Ron Paul for saying that we bring this on ourselves. Well, if you think about how our representatives in Washington represent us, we the people, then yeah, we did bring that on ourselves because we don't feel that way toward the Middle East and we never felt that way toward Russian people when we were in the Cold War, but our leaders did. And the people in those countries look at our representatives as representing us. So if someone comes over from the neighborhood down the street and says, hey, I represent that gated community, and he starts jerking you around and lying to you and stealing your stuff, then you're going to say that whole neighborhood are full of jackasses. That's what happens in the Middle East, see? They're looking at our representative saying, well, hey, if you're a true republic or a democracy or whatever we call ourselves, we're really a republic. But either way, and these people represent you and they're coming over here lying and cheating and stealing. We don't like you either. And that's the bigger picture is we don't have control of our representatives because we don't have any representation. So let's get that out of the way right now. So what we have is a bunch of lying thieves going over to other parts of the world, you know, just flopping their jaw and making us look stupid and creating enemies. And while they're playing all these little games to do this and move that little piece over there and do this and that and whatever the hell they're trying to do, those people that don't read and don't speak English, all they see is the bullshit and they think we are part of it. Just like the Russian people were not as crazy as the Russian leaders back then. Not as many Germans were as screwed up and crazy as Hitler was, but we thought all of them, all y'all are crazy. See, because he was their representative. So yes, do we bring all this stuff on us? Yeah. Do we do it intentionally? No. As a people, no, we don't. So I think that conspiracy theories are great fun and you try to figure them out. We don't know what happened, but I know there was a conspiracy that caused it. A conspiracy among those 19 and the people they worked for or followed. There was a conspiracy to hide the evidence from we the people because they didn't want to scare us. Boo-hoo, I guess. And there were conspiracies all over the place in the media and everything. But to sit there and say George Bush conspired to blow those buildings up is kind of a moot point because you're never going to prove the conspiracy itself. you can get to the facts of the crime that happened. And if you find people that actually perpetrated it, then they can be arrested for the crime. But leave conspiracy out of a court of law, because you'll have a hell of a hard time proving a conspiracy, because you needed to be in the room listening at the same time. And so who the hell cares who conspired to do it? We're not going to stop them from doing it the next time. But we can at least punish those who did it and treat it as a crime on a superficial level, as your people in this country, those 19 people that were hired by you, came over here and killed 3,000 of us. And we don't really care all the minutiae. We're going to retaliate against you and that group. So you have to have that mindset. Now, 9/11 happened so long ago, that'll never happen. Yeah, we killed bin Laden, whoop-de-doo. Should we have been in Iraq? No. But that was convenient. I don't know why it was convenient. I don't care why it was convenient, but there we are, screwing more things up with our representatives representing us in the worst way possible.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need. And learn more at prepperguy.com too.
I look at this Middle East war, or whatever the hell you want to call it, kind of like if me and you are neighbors, and you hear me and my wife fighting and screaming and breaking shit, you come over to the house because you're my friend and you're like, dude, what the hell is going on? So you talk me down. I calm down. I go to your house so my wife can calm down. Everyone calms down. You split us up. Okay, there you go. Maybe I'll make up. Maybe she'll not be mad at me. Whatever. But you're not going to move in for 12 years and continue to run my life because me and my wife fight. Because now all of a sudden, it will become me and her against you. So it's the Middle East against us now. We tried to do a good thing by breaking up the fight, but then we moved in and became pissheads. And then we won't leave. It's like, go, okay, we're done fighting. It's a month later. Go away. We've been to anger management. We're done with this. Go away. Now I'm going to stay a little longer. Now look at it this way. Maybe this will help. Let's say we have an economic collapse and we are screwed beyond belief. I mean, our infrastructure collapses because there's no money. So people quit going to work. And one thing, it's just a domino effect. And we have this massive economic collapse. And because we're not getting our medicine and our money and whatever happens, our infrastructure starts to collapse. Our health starts to collapse. Now we have other kinds of catastrophes happening, and it just starts to snowball. So some country comes along and says, oh, let's just pick China because they got more money than we do. They come along and say, look, we're going to come over. We're going to help you rebuild some of that infrastructure that fell apart. Not all of it, but we got generators and we got some stuff. We can get you up and running. We'll give you an influx of some cash so people can start, you know, breathing again. We got medicine and food. And you're like, oh, that's great. We could really use the help because we truly fell down and we're laying here face down in the dirt. So any help you could give us, that would be awesome. See, because that's a goodwill gesture. And you're like, wow, thanks. Cool. I need your help. You're willing to help. And then 2 years into it, there's bases all over in California and Florida and this border and that border. And all of a sudden, there's a million, you know, Chinese soldiers here telling us how to live and driving around and going, well, we're going to rebuild your school, but since we're going to do that, we want some more favors. Eventually, after about a year or two, when you've kind of stood back up and dusted yourself off, you're like, okay, I'm good. Go away. Now, they don't go away. See, because that's where the gameplay came in. They never really came over to help us. They told their people they were coming over to help us, and their people are like, oh, that's so cool. We like those people. Yeah, go help them. And then our government is on our side of the fence going, they're just coming to help. We need help. And we, the people, are going, that's really nice of them. I'm glad that they're stepping up to help us out while we're face down in the dirt. So now their people are like, okay, enough. We're going broke, you know, with this, whatever the hell it is now we see that you're doing in America. And we, the people, are going, okay, enough of this BS now. We're good. We're standing up. We've dusted off. And that's when the game playing starts because their leaders and our leaders are like, well, you know, if you continue to do this, then we'll do that, and then we'll do that, and you'll do this. And they'll go, oh, that'll be great, because then we can get into a war, and war is great for both of our economies. And we got way too many people over here, so we need to kill off half of them. So we'll go into this crazy-ass war, whatever they're planning on, and that's the conspiracy. And then our leader's like, yeah, that'd be great, you know, and then we'll have all your gold because we squandered all ours. And meanwhile, we think that, you know, whatever's going on is like above board, which it's not. And then so we're looking at China going, all those people in China are just a bunch of screwballs. And the Chinese are now like, I don't know why we helped them, because now they're trying to attack us. Oh, now we got a war. We have an enemy. We've isolated it. And now we can take Saul Alinsky's plan and put it into action, divide and conquer. And now we have a war, just like in the book by Orwell, 1984. You know, you're always at war with somebody all the time. And then you're always lying to them. So what the word white used to mean this, now it's blue. And the minute you say, well, it looks white, they disappear you because now it's blue. So that's how it happens. Now, this is a little long-winded and maybe sporadic, but I didn't want to get into the minutia of each and every 9/11 conspiracy. So I guess to wrap it up, conspiracies are very hard to prove unless you had people in the room that told you about it. And then even then, in court, what you're doing is, it's like a cop writing you a ticket for something that was so stupid, like you're going 180 miles an hour, but he chooses to write you a ticket for a waste of finite fuel. You go to court and you go, yeah, I was wasting fuel. And they go, that's a $25 fine. You go, okay, thanks. See, when the real crime was us doing 180 miles an hour, oh, by the way, I was drunk, and I ran through a school zone and almost killed a couple kids. So you're focusing on the wrong ticket, you know. Was there a conspiracy? You betcha. There's always a conspiracy. No matter what crime happens, if more than one person did it, a lone wolf, then it was a conspiracy. If you want to discuss the issues of how that happens, I don't think Facebook during 9/11 is a good time, you know, or at least honoring those on 9/11, a good time to bring it up. That's more of a forum discussion where people can go, well, this happened and that happened. And then you can sit there and go, well, yeah, but steel only melts at this temperature and that. And then somebody else can get in there and go, well, I'm a blacksmith and I can tell you how I could heat that up to melt it into a liquid puddle pretty damn easy. And no one ever said it puddled up on the ground in New York. It didn't get that hot. It got hot enough to weaken the shit out of it to where it fell down. But these are all forum discussions with like-minded people that like trying to figure that out and going, well, what about this? And then you go, oh, you know, I never even thought about that. That's really a good point. And then you go do your homework and you come back and you have a really fun discussion like we used to do when I was a kid. And we would try to figure out what was on the other side of the universe. You know, I used to ask people at my drunken parties, I go, okay, let's assume we're traveling in our car at the speed of light, and I turn on the headlights. What happens? Now, we all know that you can't drive at the speed of light and all this other physics stuff. So even why try to figure it out? Well, because it was fun. See, we'd sit there and go, well, I wonder if the lights would even come out because you're already traveling at the speed of light. And somebody else would go, well, it seems like the light would be going the same speed as the vehicle. And then when you turn it on, it would be going out twice as fast. Oh, but then you're going twice the speed of light. You can't do that. See, and it was a great discussion to have with people that like to get into silly discussions and try to figure out science. And, you know, nowadays we'd have a great time because we didn't have the internet back then. We actually had to read a book and look it up. And when you're drinking and having a barbecue or a party in your yard, you're not going to run to the library and look that up. So, but it was fun, and that's what conspiracy things are. They're fun. But anyone that is spending a lot of time trying to figure out a conspiracy theory is really kind of wasting your time, because you're trying to figure out who told who what to do when. It's more fun to me to figure out what the hell happened. Those buildings blew up and sank and fell to the ground. Why did Building 7 come down? Oh, maybe 60 billion tons of shit just exploding out at an extremely high rate of speed and pressure and shockwave just knocked that building to where it was so loose they had to blow it up. That could have happened. Well, no, they said they were blowing it up. Okay, let's look at that. Why'd they blow it up? Well, because tons of shit fell on it, and it weakened the building just like an earthquake would do, because it was kind of like a centrally located earthquake right there at ground zero that shook the hell out of Building 7. So if you want to play around with the idea that George Bush and Dick Cheney did it so they could get their weather machine plugged in and get enough financing to, you know, somehow miraculously send a Category 5 hurricane over to Katrina, because now they had all this extra money from Halliburton to do that, that's great exercise, and it's a lot of fun to think about, but it's not really happening. Because let's see, Dick Cheney would have had to say, what we're going to do is we're going to pay these people to fly these airplanes into, you know, 9/11, these two twin towers, and then they're going to fall down. Well, how do we know they're going to fall down? Well, we can't wire the building because, we discussed why you can't do that. People wouldn't show up to work. So what we're going to do is when they fall down, we're going to go to war with Iraq. Well, Iraq has nothing to do with it. I know, but we're going to convince them it did. Well, that's a lot of maybes now. We don't know if the buildings have fallen down. We don't know if we're going to get everybody pissed off enough to go to war with Iraq. We might have decided to just blow the shit out of Egypt and or OPEC because we were so mad. So you don't know. So we have so much control with our media machine that we're going to convince every American to do that. And then we're going to get untold amounts of soldiers to sign up or volunteer to join the military so we can go to Iraq and do all this. And then we'll get all these no-bid contracts, and then with that money, we'll build the weather machine. It's starting to sound like Dr. Evil here. So if you can prove it, that's great. Would love to see it. But I think since you weren't there and you don't have videotape of this happening, all it is conjecture. All it will ever be is conjecture. And the media and those in charge will never let it be anything other than conjecture. So it kind of saddens me when people use 9/11 anniversary as a time to, you know, air their big theories on Facebook and everywhere. And you can see the agenda and some of the programming even now to where, you know, what it is, it's a time to remember that a bunch of assholes came over here and screwed with our way of life. And they killed almost 3,000 of our people, that all they did was go to work that day to provide for their family. That was it. So you don't want to try to undermine their moral high ground, because they have every right to grieve and be sad. So that's kind of what gets me about it, you know, is that aspect of it. I could probably focus this down a little bit better, but I just don't think it's anything that, you know, it's all conspiracy, and it's very hard to prove conspiracy. It's always very easy to talk about conspiracy. So metal melting, missiles, Pentagon, Bush and Cheney, that's like trying to figure out whether God is a male or a female. We just don't know. And therefore, it's fun to talk about it, but don't build a religion on it, because you might be another one of those religions out there that are going the wrong direction and spending a lot of time for naught. And it really is irrelevant. To me, the issue is not the conspiracy, but to believe that it happened. We have enemies. We'll never know who they were now. And because of this conspiracy that happened, which will remain anonymous, we're at more jeopardy and more things can happen, which tells me that we've lost control of our leadership in Washington. And now we're starting to see it all start to come into effect with the election. They're giving us more bullshit. You know, we're supposed to take another big bite out of the bullshit sandwich. And that's what worries me about 9/11. And all that is, we just don't get the truth. And I know we don't get the truth. That's why I don't believe anything of what they say. You know, there was the old expression, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. Well, nowadays with the media, you can't even believe any of what you see. Because I saw a Wookiee flying in the Millennium Falcon faster than the speed of light. And they landed on a planet that had Ewoks. So see, with CGI nowadays, you can't even believe what you see. So you have to fine-tune your bullshit radar to look at it and just go, okay, I know the facts. Those buildings fell down. Planes flew into them. According to all the witnesses, it was these people. the FBI had it all figured out before it happened, but nobody was listening because there was this wall of secrecy. So we need to fix that. We need to fix this. We don't need the NSA. We don't need to spy on everybody. We don't need Homeland Security. We don't need 100-mile radius around America to where I have no freedom and liberty anymore because I'm in that dark zone. All this was because of 9/11. So what I know is on 9/11, they knocked us down. They changed our culture. They ruined and took my freedom and liberty. Therefore, they won that battle. They didn't win the war, maybe, but they won the battle. And now it's time to get a new battle plan and move on and stop looking at the past and wasting time trying to figure out what might have happened when and how come. Because we have new battles now. We have a new election and more crap on our plate to eat. So I kind of wanted to put this one little bit in there as an old thing I heard from some lady one time. A woman asked her mom, you know, why do you cut that bottom part of the chicken thigh off or the drumstick, you know, to where you take that knob off there? And she's like, I don't know. You'd have to ask your grandma. So she asked grandma and she said, Grandma, why when you cook the chicken and you fry it, you cut this bottom part off of the drumstick, which is kind of like what I like to hold on to when I'm eating it. And she's like, well, I don't know. Ask your great-grandma. So great-grandma's still alive and kicking. So she goes to great-grandma and she's like, why do you do that? And explains to her issue. And great-grandma says, well, you know, when I was young and we first had our own place, I only had this little skillet. And so I had to cut that off to get it into the pan to fry it. Otherwise, it would stick out and it wouldn't cook evenly. So see, all these other generations were cooking it based on information that they had never figured out why that information was only prevalent to great-grandma. Everyone else was doing it based on that and doing it basically wrong. They didn't have to do that. That's a step they didn't need to do. But nobody ever looked at what caused that, the cause and effect. And you just thought, well, that's how you do it. It's the way I've always done it. So it's the same thing. You know, we're all suckers of our own biases in life and what we've seen and learned. And I think Rush Limbaugh was pretty right on when he said, we all become aware of history from the day we became aware, maybe as teenagers. So a lot of people go, oh, the Beatles were Paul McCartney's first backup band. No, the Beatles were the Beatles. And that's how Paul McCartney got started. Another generation from now, people won't even know who the Beatles are. They might know Paul McCartney. Maybe. So that's kind of how you got to look at things. You got to kind of get your head wrapped around things and go, well, this is, you know, what happened. We're screwed. And move on. Open your eyes. Quit thinking of the past. Quit looking back in the rearview mirror. You're going forward. Look out the windshield, and I think you'll be better off. So that's about that. That's to my buddy. He's got a lot of good points. I like talking to him. So, Mr. Jeff, I promised you I'd do this for you, and I think it was a good podcast anyway. I needed to get out there for people because it has to do with prepping in a lot of ways, and that's how we look at things and how we plan and how we get our head around things in life, whether it's religion or diet or science or politics. We need to look at things and we need to strip them down because they've gotten very complicated. The Constitution has become very complicated, but if you strip it down to its original, 13 pages, it's pretty damn easy. It gets complicated when you start running out on the limbs that all these people have grafted on there. And then when you try to explain that, they're like, well, yeah, but you're painting with a broad brush. So keep it simple. And be prepared. That's about all I got to say. And as usual, have a great day and enjoy the apocalypse.